Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for our depth chart discussion instead of Friday Morning GM this week. And joining me to do that is my Friday Morning GM partner, Vas Larikos. Vas, how you doing?
Very good, Ken. Always enjoy doing these shows with you, my friend.
Lots of fun. And we just went over the offense. If you missed that, a lot of things to look at. And in particular, it is very difficult to decode what they're trying to do with the interior offensive line in terms of who will play. And we didn't even really discuss the left guard, right guard thing, which I think is complete non-issue in terms of Simpson and Ioane. I think Ioane is clearly going to play right guard and Simpson is going to stay at left guard, where he's managed the absurdly high penalty rate that he's had so far, as opposed to they try and move him because of the high penalty rate there. But the players after them, Emory Jones will be a utility piece that I think will be available at multiple positions, might get a chance at center, but that center position, trying to figure that out and who the backup guards are, everybody's got significant warts. So they're trying to go through that. We talked about it for probably a good 10 minutes. It's not really clear to me how exactly that's going to line out.
No, they're going to let them compete, right? They're going to bring in a bunch of guys, throw them in a mosh pit, and, they'll probably do some more one-on-ones, I would imagine, which usually they hold off till the back end of camp, if at all, or joint practices, but to really see what these guys have, because a lot of uncertainty there. But I would agree with you, for with about 90% confidence, Ioane will be on the right side and Simpson will be on the left side.
All right, well, let's look at the defense. That's what we're here to do in this second episode here. The defensive line, I think, is where we'll start. And there are some sure things and there are some non-sure things here. So we start with Travis Jones on the defensive line as the most sure thing of all and the most, frankly, versatile player they have, maybe on the entire defense, but definitely on the defensive line. Namdi Madubuike, if he is able to play, should be back. And reportedly, he had a second surgery that was a cleanup procedure. At least that's been reported from one source. John Jenkins is re-signed after a good year last year, I thought, really solid year. Then you get into some guys who are all in a little bit of trouble. So I'll let you talk about them. But, the possibility of signing DJ Reader is still out there. And I think it's probably a pretty good chance at this point that the Ravens want to do that in order to give themselves some certainty on that line.
I would agree. Madubuike, it appears that he's going to try to play. So we couldn't necessarily say that a month ago. But will he be able to play? We don't know. Or how much he'll be able to play, or how well he'll be able to play.
Yep.
So you definitely want to have some certainty behind him. I agree with you. Jenkins and Travis Jones are obviously locks. Let's go to Broderick Washington, a player who the Ravens can save $4 million if they release him. They can release him at any time. They can release him at cutdowns and still save that $4 million, to my knowledge. So he might be a player where they want to see where he's at. How does he look after almost a year off? Can he give them something? Or are they just waiting for him to be able to healthy enough to clear pass a physicals and then harvest that cap space? And these Peebles is a player we don't know very much about at all because he barely played last year. Rashawn Benny is a player that the Ravens were able to get in the seventh round, who apparently slid to some off-the-field stuff, but got a lot of familiarity with the staff. Both the defensive line coach and the head coach coached him directly. So he's an exciting player. I would have been happy with him, probably in the fourth round, fifth round at worst. CJ Okoye is another player who's probably on the bubble. Had some good things last year. Does the new staff want to carry three nose tackles? That's not a guarantee. That's not a certainty. He's a little bit older because he's been didn't play college ball, and then took him a little while of practice squads to become a player worth putting on the field. I was just going to say
he's really not that old still. I think he's 20. He might have been 24 still last year.
Okay,
so he might only be 25 this year, which is surprisingly young for a guy who's been in the league for 3 years.
Right, sure. And then two undrafted players, Deion Wilson Jr., who I don't have any notes on actually personally or directly, and then Aaron Graves, who's might be an intriguing guy. He's more of a pass rusher than a run defender. According to Gordon, had 22 pressures on 331 pass rush snaps.
Okay, so let's go through this a little bit. First of all, CJ Okoye will be 25 in October. So he's 24 and a half right now. So so there's that. Let's go through some of the players you named who are kind of the second tier here. I think Broderick Washington is probably 90% plus to be cut at this point. Even if things start to go wrong, other positions, I don't think he's got a future with the Ravens. I think there's too much money on the line. If you're going to even consider cutting Voorhees, you've got more talent in this defensive line group that you could draw upon. I just don't think Broderick Washington is got a future here. CJ Okoye, I think his future is tied directly to DJ Reader. If DJ Reader is signed, I think Okoye is out. And what it means is Okoye will be offered a practice squad spot. It probably means he will not clear waivers with the Ravens. So, you know, they'll be, I think it would be likely. That said, Okoye spent 2 years on the Chargers practice squad and nobody took him. So
in the beginning of last year too, right? He didn't make the team out of week one. I think it was, he was like a November or October call up.
Yeah. Well, when they had all the injuries, that's when he got brought up. So he is an IPPP guy still. So he can take a spot on the practice squad without taking a spot on the practice squad. That does not help you on the 90. It does not help you on the 53. It does just help you in the case of a practice squad player. So he does have a potential to hang with the organization if he is cut. And then I think it's a competition between the last two, between Peebles and Benny. Peebles has a year under his belt. He is a pure situational pass rusher with no value against the run. Benny brings you some value against the run. He's a little bit bigger, not a lot bigger. And he might be more normally in a 5-tech spot, but he played a 3-tech in college. And I think that he'd be a guy who would be a situational 3-tech. I don't know how much, a rundown plus situational 3-tech on as a pass rusher. I'm not sure how much value that, I know the rundown 3-tech has a lot of value because the Ravens don't have that, but the passing down 3-tech, I'm not sure how much they need because they got kick inside guys. I think if I had to look at the edge defenders, I think they'll get more snaps in total by a not insignificant amount than the interior defenders this year. And normally if you play some base defense, that wouldn't be the case, but we'll see a lot of rush nickel where they have three guys on the field. We may see some race car. Travis Jones will probably be a constant in the pass rush, but good chance that they end up with, 1.95, 1.85, some number like that of defensive linemen per play. Last year, they played only 9.5% base defense.
Right. So, that's been a constant for several years. I remember in, 2019, there was like 10%, right? They played more dime.
Race car,
right. Another player I'd like to mention when we're doing the rundown was David Olajigwa. He was the IPP guy he's the IPP potential. So I agree with you, Ken. I would certainly be in favor of bolstering that with DJ Reader if you can. Apparently there's some competition. The Giants hosted him for a pre-draft visit. There were rumors that he had already agreed to terms with them. I haven't seen anything since the draft. They pretty much struck out at D-tackle and ended up signing the Godfather as a UDFA, but they definitely need some help. Yeah. They definitely need some help after trading away the guy to the Bengals, Lawrence Dexter, right. Sexy Dexy. So I could see a scenario where it's Madubuike, Jones, Jenkins, Peebles, Benny and Peebles / Okoye, where I could definitely see him adding one more. I guess there's a long shot chance they would carry 6, but I think 5 is the most likely number.
Right. I don't see them carrying over 5 just because I think they need the 5th edge spot. I don't think you can both the rotational spots. Okay. But because you're asking more snaps of that defensive the edge position, you really got to have a 5th guy, I think. And I see 5 defensive linemen being carried. And I have it as Jones, Reader or Okoye is number 2, Jenkins is number 3, Madubuike is number 4, and Peebles or Benny as number 5. The Graves is a very short arm guy from Iowa. He's a lean 3-tech, big time hustle guy who's has a big motor and has had some sacks at Iowa, has had some real pass rush success. Deion Wilson from my alma mater at Syracuse, practice squad only guy. purely developmental player, has a little bit better measurables in terms of having 33-inch arms. 6'4", 302 is more, you know, the kind of the norm for that three tech position, but he's done nothing at Syracuse. I mean, he's barely played. So I don't know exactly what the point is on bringing it, but I think we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys, including one who's not on the team currently, competing for five spots.
Right, right. Well, it sounds like Graves will be maybe a good practice squad candidate. It sounds like Wilson's more of a camp body.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, let's move over to edge. And you know, the list right now is fairly long, and I still think as we get to this, I think it's a pretty good chance for a vet signing. But why don't you take us through from top to bottom how you see it?
Yes, I agree that so I think they would like to carry five. I think that's the magic number, especially, as you said, to give you some reduced inside ability, kick inside. They're bringing some pass rush. So top four are pretty crystal clear. Big ticket free agent acquisition, Trey Hendrickson. Tavius Robinson, a player entering his
fourth year. They need to sign him if they're going to.
If they're going to. Maybe they don't need to now, because they did pick Zion Young, player that I was over the moon about getting him in the second round. He was a 10th edge off the board, and I had him much higher than that personally. And second round draft pick, first round potential value, Mike Green. So I think those are the four that are locked in. Let's talk about those first.
So, you know, interesting will be the usage, because I think it'll be big usage changes if the Ravens get the injury results they want, which is, of course, none. So I think that Trey Hendrickson should play less snaps than he last did when he played regularly for Cincinnati, because he shouldn't be out there on rundowns nearly as often. The Ravens also have two guys in Robinson and Young who can be out there and be solid edge defenders on early downs. So I think they're going to go with much more pass rush and early down, late down specialization. Tavius Robinson, I think, let's go with Zion Young. I think Zion Young has to play the rush side. That's really all he's played. He's not a guy who drops the coverage. He's actually quite slow. And I think he's a guy who ends up playing on that side, being a power guy. Terrell Suggs is the guy, you know, you hope that Zion Young can get close to. He's a pure bull rush guy in a lot of ways, speed to power guy.
I've heard some Za'Darius Smith comps, and I think that's pretty appropriate as well.
Ooh, it'd be a high bar, very high bar.
Higher than Suggs.
No, that's true. That's true. I'm thinking more of the, yeah, as right. No, but that'd be good. That'd be great if it were true. But then the good news about this is Mike Green was forced into a trial by fire. We played a lot of early down snaps last year. I think the presence of Robinson and Young make him a guy who plays mostly on passing downs this year. And I think both Tavius Robinson and Zion Young are candidates to kick inside. And they may give that role to some of them for each, or find the guy they like, or, you know, using three most of the times. Or they may even develop a package where you have five guys at the line of scrimmage and you have six defensive backs behind that, or Roquan and five defensive backs, maybe where they play a little bit less dime in such situations to develop more pass rush. So Minter's situation in San Diego was primarily a four-man pass rush. So I do expect actually them to just have four at the line, but they've got options having, you know, guys who can kick inside the way they can.
Yeah, it's a very, very strong top four. And I do expect the pass rush to be significantly better than last year, which was, frankly, not very good last year.
Terrible.
You know, Sam is a place where they don't have that prototypical Sam. And, you know, we're coming off of, what was that now, 6 years ago, however many years ago, with Tyus Bowser. He was the best Sam in the league. I think the team has gotten away from that a little bit because you have Kyle Hamilton's versatility. But if you don't have a guy that can drop, then that means Hamilton can't blitz very often. So we'll see how that plays out. Well, as we transition onto the kind of the bubble guys, Adisa Isaac, former third rounder, haven't gotten anything out of him. He might have some stamp qualities. And I think if they had to line up for week one today, that he would be the fifth guy on the roster, probably a game day inactive. But we don't know what to really expect from him. On the other side, Cameron Rucker, who was a player that I think was caught up one game or two last year for special teams, if that, had some ability. I know some people like what they saw in the preseason from him last year. And then the final option is an undrafted free agent, Ethan Burke, played for Texas. He's got the right frame for the position. He's known as a player that's pretty, you know, decent against the run and decent against the pass. And he has a lacrosse background. So he could, I'm not expecting him to compete for the job necessarily, but he could maybe be a practice squad, you know, front runner.
Right. So I'm with you on Burke. I think Rucker, Isaac, and Burke are all potential practice squad guys. I actually think while they'll try probably with Isaac, I think the more likely event is they'll go out and they'll sign a vet at the position. They've had great success with it. Jadeveon Clowney is a name that could make a lot of sense there. Kyle Van Noy is a name that could make sense there again at the right price. So if they want to bring a Sam in.
Especially if you're looking for a Sam, because Van Noy last year, the one thing he did well was he in coverage. He wasn't great at getting after the passer, but if you look at his contributions the last quarter of the season, he made some good plays in coverage. Another veteran I throw into the mix is Cam Jordan, who's another power player similar to a Clowney in some ways. Now, I remember watching the game and the Saints had a skybox full of his family and relatives and it seemed that he was ready to retire. But apparently that's not the case. So he's another player that could fit the bill. There's a lot of guys, a lot of outside backers still out there. Bosa's still out there. A couple other big name guys whose names are escaping me. So I would try to dip into that well. You can never, I want the pass rush to come in waves. So I don't want to stunt Mike Green's development or Zion Young's development. But sometimes you got to, build up that arsenal when you can.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I think that having a fifth guy just makes sense there. I don't think Isaac, Rucker, or Burke, any of those guys are the fifth guy. So I think it makes sense to have a Clowney or another guy. I wouldn't draft somebody who is like a specialist at something like a run defense specialist. You don't need that. You've got Tavius and Zion now. I don't think I think they need another pass rusher, and and Clowney in a lot of ways would make sense to me. Give the Ravens a lot of inside out versatility. Clowney has it as well. He isn't dropped the cover very much, but I think he still could play on that Sam side. He's played on both sides in his career, certainly in terms of rush and Sam, but he has not dropped the coverage very often in his career.
If I'm a veteran pass rusher, this would be a great situation to step into. Yep. Give me 15 high quality, pin your ears back and limited snaps and try to win a ring before you retire. So I hope they do pursue that avenue.
Yeah. It's, what's happened funny is we've had that discussion before. Just give me 15 snaps for Nell McPhee. And he comes back and all of a sudden he's the best pass defender they have. He's the best pass rusher they have. And he's the best run defender they have. And all of a sudden he's playing 40 snaps a game and then he gets hurt again. But they could do that same thing in Jadeveon Clowney's case. He's not coming here to play 15 snaps a game. He'd be playing more than that. Mike Green would be the guy who'd have a somewhat restricted role. Mike Green lost a year of development in a way last year. I mean, tons of snaps, which can be good, but I think it actually hurt him as a pass rusher in terms of having all that time there. All right, let's move on. We'll talk about the inside linebacker group here. I'm expecting them to carry four inside linebackers, and they don't really have a lot of choices when it comes to further guys. Roquan Smith at the top of the list certainly is going to be there. Teddy Buchanan, as soon as he's healthy. Trenton Simpson, we expect to he's in a contract year. He's incented to play well. Jay Higgins certainly played well enough on special teams last year and got a few snaps playing off ball. I think he's a very reasonable fourth guy. And then they have two guys, Carl Jones, who was on the team last year for special teams primarily. Don't see him as an inside backer. And Reed Wilford, who is a UDFA they signed out of Charlotte, who I really know nothing about. It could be another case where they really like the guy. They know something that we don't anyway. What's your thoughts on that group of six?
Okay, so Roquan, I think this could be his last year. His contract balloons and they could save a lot of money, and they're underwater right now, especially after picking up Zay's option. Buchanan, we don't know if he's going to be ready to start the season. We did see video of him at the workouts when the offseason program began. I guess they're optimistic, but you never quite know. I'm pretty high on Trenton Simpson. I think he played well in the Rams game when Roquan was out. I think he played well when used as kind of the, I don't know if you want to call it the spy or the, he wasn't quite the, the Joker role, but he makes plays. He was one of their best graded, I think he was their best graded inside linebacker on PFF last year. And then Higgins, I like his potential. He's a perfectly fine number four. I do expect him to keep four. Carl Jones, they added late in the season. I don't think he could play defense. He wasn't a particularly good special teamer either from what I saw. And I just don't think they're necessarily going to emphasize special teams to that same extent this year. Wilford, I don't know anything about. And then Dominic DeLuca is also on this depth chart that I'm looking at as another undrafted guy. I think if they need to find an undrafted linebacker, they can. They've proven that time and time and time again. If Buchanan isn't ready, but I think the top four is pretty set in stone.
Right. I don't see room for a fifth, given the fact that I have five DL, five edge, four inside linebackers gets us to 14. And then I'm projecting 11 defensive backs. And it gets a little complicated on how you identify these guys. But why don't you take us through the cornerback list, and then I'll comment on it.
All right, so we'll do the locks first. Nate Wiggins is your CB1, probably going to travel like he did last year a little bit. Chidobe Awuzie, one of the shrewdest re-signings in my view. Marlon Humphrey, who looks like he might be given another opportunity on the perimeter, which could work out if there's technique things that Ry Woodson was talking about come to pass. TJ Tampa, I think he's going to be a core special teamer and probably has earned a shot to see what he has. So those are the – and then, let's see. So I would say those are the four locks at corner.
Okay, so I'll go to Humphrey and Tampa are two players who could fill a shortcoming at safety. And either one of them could do it, but I really want to see this summer that those guys are both getting time at safety. That they're, you know, there's at least a realization. Humphrey is highly incented to get time at safety this year and figure it out on the next contract. Tampa, he's a younger guy, but he's also a guy who's dogged by his 40 time in terms of any future signing. So him getting time at safety will look really good. In a lot of ways, he's like the other guy that I've always been really positive on, and he's come back to the Ravens a couple of different times.
The guy from forgetting
played his name. The Cowboys briefly, and then he was here. And he's a safety, and he got hurt at the end of the 23 season.
The one that played a ton of snaps in the preseason that one year?
Yes, yes, yes. He's the one.
I remember that, but I can't remember his name.
This is terrible. I'm forgetting names now these days. And that's anyway, he reminds me of him, and he could be a guy, that guy was originally a corner in college who became a safety because of a 464 time. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. I can remember his 40th time, and I've forgotten his name here.
Right.
I'll look this up after this because I'm not letting this go. but Tampa, if he can get time at safety, I think that's a positive thing. And then after that, you got a lot of competition. But Keon Martin is the one guy who got playing time last year and played pretty well. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to see them give up on him. But the Ravens, of course, they don't really need a slot corner all that often. They played about 24.5% of the snaps in dime or quarter last year.
So let me piggyback. First of all, good point that they could carry seven guys listed at corner, but one could be cross-trained as a safety. It's a really good point, Ken. I didn't quite think of it that way. Let's go to slot first. Let's stay there since you brought it up. I agree. Keon Martin played pretty well. He did struggle a little bit in the Rams game, but we don't know if that – I think that was really a problem of communication between him and Lowry and Buchanan and their bunch of undrafted rookies, late-round rookies. But they drafted Rivers, who in the fifth, who I didn't necessarily love because I didn't think they needed a slot. And they're probably going to be in direct competition for a job, I would imagine. They also have Roger Longerbeam returning off injury, who was drafted last year, who's also a slot type.
Yeah, Longerbeam is he could be a slot or an outside, but you're right, he's probably a slot guy. Bilal Kone is a pure outside guy. I'm sorry, yeah. You want to stick with the slot in terms of who's there. Then I think my problem is with Rivers, I didn't really think he was that great a cover guy last year. Yeah. I know there's a lot of people who disagree with me, but metrics-wise, it didn't work out for him. The last guy who metrics-wise, it didn't work, and he got drafted in the fifth round, is Caillou Blue Kelly.
Right.
Okay, he had a terrible last year at Stanford. I would not say that Rivers last year was as bad, but it wasn't a good year, and it wasn't a good year in multiple dimensions. Yards per target were not good, but other things were not good as well. So I wish there was a part of his game that I thought was really above average, but he's an outside corner. He's going to be forced to slot is the other thing. And, you know, it may work out. It may not. I tell you who does love him, all 22 films, Derek Coleman. Loves him and had him higher on the list. I had both the slot guys, Ponds and Rivers, lower on my list because they're slot guys. But in Rivers' case, it was even lower because he just didn't have that good a year last year.
Right. Yeah. You know, the slot guys, it's just there's so much competition for those snaps between Hamilton, Humphrey, and then, you know, Martin. So, you know, how's that going to shake out? We'll see. Everybody's excited about the draft class. They got a great 11-man class. One of these guys is probably not going to make the team, if not two. The last 4 or 5 years running, at least one of them haven't made the team. Tyler Beatty, Kabu Kelly, all the way back to Ben Mason, at least one every single year. Yeah. Dellinger last year, right. So we'll see. But unless you had anything else on the slot, we'll move to the other outside options. Amari Oruwariye, who looks at this point to probably be a 4A player, to use a baseball term. He's a guy I like coming out, but hasn't quite ever caught on. Bilal Kone is maybe an exciting player. He looked pretty good last year before he got hurt. He's got some put some good tape out there. Marquise Robinson, I know a player that you were high on last year. Wouldn't be surprised to see him make a second-year jump and really push for a spot on the 53. And then as far as UDFAs, Matthew McDoom, whose best quality appears to be that his last name sounds menacing. And then a good old legacy product here, Ladarius Webb Jr., who I thought was interesting. They listed him as DB, which made me think maybe he played outside at Wake Forest, but maybe they think that he could maybe factor into the safety competition.
It's amazing how history repeats itself with Ladarius Webb Sr. moving to safety. But Ladarius Webb Sr. was one hell of a player in terms of being able to move around and be effective everywhere he was. One of the saddest stories in Ravens history is his injuries in years 1 and 3 and the way it derailed what I think could have been a Hall of Fame career based on his recovery in year 3 in the 2011 season he had, which was, the best in the entire NFL. I mean,
I still remember the playoff game against New England. He was just locking down half the whole side of the field in 2011. Yeah, that was tough. And I think it was right after they re-signed him too, right? It seemed to have bad luck with that, the injury, the career-threatening injury right after they re-signed him.
They paid him after the 2011 season.
Right.
And then 2012, he got hurt again. So 2011, he played against the Texans. Ravens had a bye, and then they played the divisional game against the Texans. And he took care of Andre Johnson in that game like nobody's business, had 2 picks in it. And, it was a great game. What a player. But I think – I don't know what sort of favor this is that they're doing or whether they think there's some lifer quality that they see in Lardarius Webb Jr. as well. I expect him to be he's spot. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.com. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel picks up, kids are out of school, and adventure is the focus. For others, juggling it all can be tough. It can make you feel overwhelmed, and can make you count down the minutes until the kids are back in school. I know I look forward to summer as a time to take a break, but as a self-employed person, time spent away from my work is time I stress over wasting. That's where BetterHelp comes in. BetterHelp is a quality therapist who work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial therapist matching for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right on the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally, and it works. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session, based on 1.7 million client reviews. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. It's probably as much in jeopardy as just about any other player on the entire 90-man roster right now, in terms of being one of the lower men on the totem pole. So this will be interesting. I mean, the is McDoom an outside guy? Because that's something I had not looked at yet. Is he a?
I believe so. I believe he has at least the size for it. I'm not going to pretend that I watched any tape on him at all, but I did. Right. I did hear a couple people say, "Oh, wouldn't that be awesome? His name's so cool."
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you need more than a name to make the team.
There you go. So I actually think that seven of these guys make the team. They've got enough, and that they're really short on safeties at this point. So, and I had Lardarius Webb Jr. in that group. They've also got another guy, Jacquez Robinson, who's no chance to make the team. And then they've got the big four, quote unquote, big four from last year, which includes the Jalen Hawkins signing, Hamilton and Starks, and as well as Keandre Jackson, is really just a special teams player. They have to find another guy who can play the back end. They have to find him out of the corner group, or they have to find him out of the safety group, which really is only Keandre Jackson at this point, which means I think we could still see a vet safety signing if there was such a guy who could play a half field role still out there. With all the crap for success they've had signing those guys the last couple of years, Eddie Jackson and Marcus Williams, obviously,
right,
fell off the table.
Yeah, I do think they're in a better spot than they were last year, because at this point they would need an injury to force Hamilton on the back end versus last year starting the season without even a third guy. You only had two. Okay. So with Hawkins at it, and you're expecting hopefully a little bit of a second year improvement from Starks, I am interested to see if Jackson can play on the back end. He was so tremendous on special teams that it wouldn't be surprising, but he's not necessarily the body type to be a rangy. I mean, he'd be split field at best. He's definitely not going to be a single high guy. Right. So I could see an addition here too. I know the market doesn't look full as it has in previous years. But let's see what happens at minicamp. And could Webb, I wouldn't rule it out that Webb, I mean, his father obviously transitioned to safety later in his career after the injury started taking away some of that explosiveness. So we'll see what happens. But I agree with you. Originally, I thought, is there a way to keep six defensive linemen and only four safeties? But no, you need five. I think you definitely need five safeties.
Yeah.
Unless one's considered a corner.
Yes, exactly. So if they've got a cross-trained guy, then I think they could have seven and four. And they just have a lot of people who they don't know who they are. It's kind of like the center competition at outside corner as well, with Kone and Longer Beam and Marquise Robinson. You could even add in Keon Martin into that, although they know more about who he is, and Arawarie and McDoom. I mean, it's just they don't know who their next guys are down the chart. I'm just not bought into the whole Chandler Rivers love right now. I mean, it might work out, but he's small, and I don't see him sticking on the outside. So I think he has to move to slot. If he does, then he's got to be able to do that job, and it's another hurdle. It just creates another hurdle for him.
Yeah, he seemed like a BPA pick. They didn't need a guy with Martin there. So, all right, Ken, now that we've kind of finalized, I'll put you on the spot. Three UDFAs with the best chance to make the squad.
Three UDFAs with the best chance to make the squad. You are making it hard for me. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can get the three on. All right, give me Lardarius Webb Jr. As one of them on defense. I don't know enough about him to know that this would be true, but Reed Wilford, the inside linebacker, would probably be my second choice. And I don't honestly believe anybody on the defensive line is going to make it. Jacquez Robinson is not going to make it. So I can only name two on defense. If I could go to the offensive side of the ball, for sure it would be the center from Penn State would be on the list.
Nick Dawkins, definitely, probably most likely on my list. I still think Diego Pounds, just given his pedigree, if he placed up to it. And then on defense, I would say Webb and maybe Ethan Burke. I think if he has a lights out preseason somehow, then they really like what they have there. There is potentially room for a fifth outside backer if they don't sign somebody.
All right. All right, great. Always a pleasure doing these. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, and then positions that they could bolster with veterans. just to put a bell on this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've hit on some of this. I think they could get a safety, they could get an edge signee, and they could sign DJ Reader or another similar player on the defensive line. I don't know that there's a similar player to DJ Reader I want. If it's not DJ Reader, that's going to be somewhere further down the nose tackle group, then I'm not that excited about exchanging a Koye for that new guy. If it's,
how about
if
Clay's? You get
a, sure, Clay would be fine. Yeah.
Because he could play any position across the line.
Yeah.
If he wants to keep playing, I've heard a lot of people. So I would agree with you on the defensive side. I could see additional D-line, edge, and safety. And I do still think tight end is placed. And again, not the name guy, but the unearthed gem that can push competition with Cuevas and Hibner and Smythe. I would like to see that for sure.
All right. Always great doing these shows with you, Vas. Tell folks where they can ask you a question online.
Sure. I'm on Twitter, X, at Vasilis Lerikos, VasilisLerikos.
All right. Looking ahead to film study content over the next few weeks, we'll have some OTA stuff to report on, but it'll be limited because we don't get to go to every single day of that. But rookie camp is this Saturday. Look for my report on that. And then we'll have OTAs, which I should get to go to one of each sequence. Minter may even change it. Minter may have it open to the press in general. So if that's the case, I'll go every day that it's available. And then I'll be at training camp, of course, when time comes for that. But if you have questions, if it's something you want to know about a particular player, use hashtag film study mailbag. I'd love to hear from you. For Vas Lerikos, this is Ken McKusick saying goodbye. We'll talk to you next week on Friday Morning GM.
Thank you.